long-range goals, but we set goals that are within sight. Every day we have a new goal to achieve. Every week we have a new goal to achieve. Every month we try and achieve a new goal. And then we have our long-range goals. And if we can't achieve some of those goals sometimes, then things are really wrong, and that's never been the case. So that really doesn't come up. But yeah, I'm, you know, the management position is a sounding board for people's personal problems as well as their business problems. And these guys are so into what they're doing that they're shut off from all other aspects of normal life, you know. It's not, you don't have the comfort of a nice warm apartment or a wife to go back to. In the case of most of these guys, they're not married or anything like that. And so when it's, you know, late at night after the performance is over and you're wondering exactly what you're doing out in, you know, wherever you happen to be, because not every place is as glamorous as where we're at right now, then, you know, someone's got to talk. Got to talk to you and reinstill your faith in yourself and what you're doing. And that's where a management position comes in handy, too. I'm a personal manager of these guys more than a business manager, although I oversee all of their business. We have two lawyers that work on the business factors with me as far as the actual technical business relationships we have with other people.
Right. One of the lawyers that is working with you right now is Robert Weed, and for people who don't know, he is also one of the lawyers of Ted Nugent. And who is the other lawyer that you have working with you right now?
I secured the services of a young rock and roll lawyer, and when I say rock and roll lawyer, this man's entire lawyer career is headed in the music business. He's a music lawyer, he's an entertainment lawyer, and that's all he does. He's a specialist. His name is Rick Smith. He works out in New York City with TWM Management Corporation. They handle accounts such as Todd Rundgren, Chasm Salt, and Todd Rundgren's a bass player who has a solo project coming out, and several other big names. This guy's young, aggressive. He's from Detroit, Michigan, so he knows all about rock and roll and all about where we're from. And he is like my right arm out in New York. Bob Weed in Lansing, he's like my left arm. I need both these guys to do what I'm doing all the time. They give me advice. They help me along. They're friends of mine. It's just a real good working relationship. Without them, I couldn't really do what I'm doing right now with the band.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do you, as a manager, direct the band and stage them and help them out with their stage show?
I oversee and inflict my opinion on every aspect of Force, even the original compositions. About 2 weeks ago, they're working on a brand new song, which they do every week, and I just interject naturally what I think about the song. It's that type of a relationship that I can do that. There's no formal approach to it. You just say what you think, and that's what I do, and that's how I approach it. Bobby generally writes all the songs. He'll present them to the band. They all interject their feelings about their own particular parts. They start to play the song, and that's when I come in. I step in and say what I think sounds good and what sounds bad. And whenever I can be there, when they're developing new tunes, I am. I oversee all aspects of staging. I oversee the light and the sound operators, because that stuff I can sit back and watch. I can see what the audience sees. I can judge the reaction we're getting from this stuff better than anyone else involved can. And the band believes in my opinion, so we have a real good working relationship as far as that goes.
Sounds like you have a real strong trust relationship where they trust you explicitly and you in turn trust them.
Honesty is the name of the game. You cannot protect yourself legally from a manager, or I can't protect myself legally as far as the artist goes in this business. You can spend tens of thousands of dollars drawing up lots of contracts and still not have anything ironclad. The best you can do is, if something went wrong, you could try and ruin each other's career, such as what happened with Bruce Springsteen's manager and himself, where they battled it out for a while, and Bruce had to just disappear from the market for a little while.
And that really hurts the musician and the manager.
Right, so if you don't trust somebody, you shouldn't work with them. There's nothing you can put down legally to really protect you. If you don't trust a man, you don't work with him. Okay. That's the way I work with everybody. We have total honesty. We have a trust relationship between all of us. We have legally binding contracts because these are guidelines that help, help divert what could become a nasty argument on certain cases. You know, everybody, you talk about stuff, if you don't write it down, then maybe you don't remember the way you talked about it before. So that's all it is. A contract is crib notes for, you know, the decisions that you made at a previous time.
Let's say there's a new band out that, you know, has just started hitting the circuit, I guess you'd want to say, and they have a manager. How does a manager go on about approaching the clubs and the bars and whatever, trying to push the band that they really want to make it? How does a manager actually do that?
Well, as far as the clubs go, you have to believe in the product. You walk in, you believe in the product. I don't push myself on people. What you do first is it's like climbing a mountain. You get a little foothold in, you get yourself into a couple bar situations where you do well, and you use these as references, and you just keep climbing forward. You use those as references, you build on your past dealings. And, of course, good promotional materials always come in handy. And of course, the following comes in handy. Right now, the nightclub market, especially in Michigan, because of the age staying up where it is and the economy being so bad and everything, you have to have a following. You have to draw people. Number one in anything in entertainment, you have to appeal to people. And if you do, you build a following. And that's the way it goes. You keep playing, you keep building a following. If you're not building a following, you're definitely doing something wrong. And then, you know, as far as approaching a nightclub owner or manager and getting a new band into that situation, a good promotional material or a nice black and white picture and song list, because they want to know what your repertoire is when you don't have a proven act. Now, with Force, they don't have any of these problems because we've been around and proven ourselves. When we break into new areas, I use the nightclubs that we play now as references. And, you know, I can honestly say that every nightclub that Force plays at this time, you know, has nothing but good things to say about the band. So I can just give them a reference list and have them call up other people in their same capacity that we've worked for. And they get the lowdown, and there we go.
So it all works out in the end. It's just constant positive reference material, working it all up and building it out. Now, you've got the band working in other areas now besides Florida and Michigan. You're going to expand them to what other areas?
Well, we've already played the Carolinas. I want to head up to Eastern Seaboard. I want to do Cape Cod. I want to move the band into New York. I live in New York, and I have a lot of contacts with nightclubs there, although New York is just like another country. It's like going to play in Japan or something, because there is no area in the United States other than maybe Los Angeles that compares to New York's club market.
Mm-hmm.
That market out there is oriented towards a total one-night situation. Bands don't play over two nights in nightclubs anywhere. Now, when you get outside of New York, the whole rest of the East Coast is all right. We want to play in Boston. We've recorded there. I want to move the band up to Canada. We've done some work in Canada, but not nearly enough. We're talking about Quebec, Montreal, Toronto, those three cities in particular. I'll do more work in Detroit, of course. We're going to go back into Chicago. We have left Chicago late for about a year and a half now. We used to play in Chicago, and I want to get the band back into there. Of course, we do play in Atlanta, Georgia right now. We have a good club there. We play Cleveland and Toledo, Ohio, which are good areas. We play in Louisville, Kentucky. We've played there for 2.5 years and have a pretty good following there. So I just want to expand on these areas. Just keep the fringes moving outward, because I want to reduce the time that we stay in any one particular area and just keep expanding. REO Speedwagon did that pretty effectively when they built their way out.
When you move into the new areas, are there times when, you know, the people haven't heard of Force and you move into there, that the audience actually just sits there and stares at the band for about the first night until they really know what they can do, and the next night it's just like a packed house and everybody's known the band forever?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the club we're going to tomorrow night is in Orlando, and at that particular club, we went in there for the first time. This is our second appearance there. We went in there for the first time about a month and a half ago, and that was the night that Pat Travers came out. And we went into that club, and the people just, I mean, they have a dance floor just like any other club or anything. The people just stood on the dance floor, didn't dance, their mouths were open, they were just staring at the band. And the owner came up to me and said, "This is a concert, it's a damn good concert," and, you know, and they didn't know what to make of it. And then the next night, everybody just was wild because they had got over the shock of this band coming and bowling them over, and the crowd increased throughout the week. And at the end of the week, we had the record attendance for that club, never being there before, had the record attendance, and that club has been there for 2.5 years.
Gee, incredible stuff. One final question.
So when you got something like this going, it's a snowball. We've just bowled over areas.
That's really great. That's a tremendous feeling. One more question, since we're dealing with making it in the music business, can you kind of capsulize what a young musician should do and what a young band should do to get themselves really going and to really try to make it in the biz?
Well, the first thing is attitude. You got to believe in what you're doing, and you have to get out there and talk to people all the time. It's a PR job. When you're starting out on a small scale, you can't afford to make enemies. You got to make friends with everybody you can. And so it's not just going up and playing and stuff on a smaller level. It's totally different from what we're doing right now. But what I found that the Force did and other bands did to make it to where they're at right now is you go out and you pump the crowd every place you go. You're not a rock star at that point. You go up and you're an entertainer and you know you're good, but you got to go out and mingle with the crowd, and you got to talk to people on a human level, because that's where you're at, and you need people to support you. You need a foundation. So you go out and you grab that foundation. When you're playing a nightclub for the first time or something, you go out there and talk to the crowd before, during, after your sets, and you make friends. And those friends are going to make other friends for you and make other friends, and the whole thing has to start snowballing like that. But if you don't get a good base at the beginning, then where are you going to be, you know?
Yeah. Local musicians, beware. You shouldn't go up there with a star attitude.
That's, can't afford to. You can't need afford every to. Friend out there, every person. And we still do it at this point. We still go out and talk to people and work the crowd. I've got things now where we've handed out 10,000 black and white, 8x10 photos of the band in the last 4 weeks. And I would venture to say that about a quarter of those have been signed personally by the members of the band. And so that tells you we're out there beating the tables, and we're out there making friends with people in these new places we play. We came in this Fort Lauderdale area for the very first time 2 weeks ago. I came here with 5,000 black and white pictures and about 3,000 itineraries, and we went wild with them. And the people go out and they talk to them, and we just, you got to mix it up. You got to make friends. We're not on the star level at this point. And, you know, this journey was a prime example of keeping your friends from the base all the way to the top. That was a band that remembered every friend that they've had. I would venture to say that they've remembered friends they probably didn't have, you know. That's one of the bands that really counted on their support of their friends and their fans and things. And the friends and fans didn't let them down. They have a darn good product, and people might say now they didn't need that support at the beginning, but they sure did.
Warren, I'll tell you what.
Journey was like a cult band. Journey was a band that before they had Steve Perry as their lead singer, they were a band that had just a huge cult following on the West Coast. And that's something that we're attempting to do right now.
You got a lot of friends up here in Grand Rapids, and especially in West Michigan. I know they're all waiting for Force to come back to the area, and we hope to see y'all back here in May sometime. Also, if somebody wanted to know where Force is playing, let's say they were going to be taking a vacation, and they wanted to know if Force is going to be playing there, is there any place that they could call to find out where they're actually going to be?
There sure is. There's two numbers. There's one in Michigan. It's right in Kalamazoo, Michigan, actually Galesburg. It's what we call our Force hotline number. You want me to repeat that number now?
Please do.
Hit it.
Yeah, that number is 616 area code 388-2197. You can get schedule information from calling there or call directly down to Florida. That number would be 305-331-7400. And at that number, you'd ask for Kim, and either one of those numbers will give you schedule information anytime you want it.
Beautiful.
We encourage our friends to come on down here. We're going to be down here through the Easter season, and there's a lot of people got vacations in that time. Just come on down and see us.
Well, Warren, we're still waiting for our airplane tickets to be delivered.
No problem.
We'll be down,
you guys, I told you guys today, I don't know if you mentioned this on the air or not, I heard Bobby say that, you know, it might take us a year to get an album out or whatever. We don't want to commit ourselves to a particular date. We want to give us room to breathe because things are going to be done right. But this is a guarantee, and it's on the air now, so I'm stuck for it. The minute an album comes out, the Force album's going to be played on WLAV in Grand Rapids before anybody else in the country gets it.
Thank you very much, Warren. I appreciate your time with us this morning, and hang in there, all right? We'll see you rocking in just a few months, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Warren.
Thanks, Warren.
Yep, see you guys later.
You bet. Warren Wyatt, the manager from
The Backbone, I guess you could actually say.
He does a lot of gopher work for that band, too, from Force. I want to thank him once again for taking time out from his busy schedule tonight, and the band, too, for taking time out from their gig. They went out, got done with their set at 20 after 12, which is when we got a hold of them, and they were with us that entire time.
I've got to put a special thanks into Warren, though, because Warren really went to a special effort to get us the tapes that you have heard on the air tonight. We went through, believe it or not, hassle after hassle. When I talked with him earlier today, he was sitting there and he was going, you wouldn't believe yesterday, and I really wouldn't after he told me everything that happened.
We got the wrong tapes in on Friday. They sent them Federal Express. Right, Federal! And then we want to thank those people. Then he had to ship up the right tapes, and he sent them and had a friend pick them up at the airport and drop them off to us personally at the station.
Thank you,
went
friend.
Out of his way. Thank you, friend. Thank you, Warren. And we're going to talk with the band Tyler in just a minute as we continue with Making It in the Music Business on the Monday Morning Music Magazine from LAVFM.